Trigger warnings for this episode can be found in the description below. Leftovers at the End of the World, Episode 5, Meat Lover.
Wow. No words from me. That was upsetting. You should seek some professional help, XXFictionalXX. Please. I beg. And that's the last for this morning's Dream With Me segment. If you've got a crazy dream, premonition, or bout of spewing madness, write a letter and submit your stories to the station. Or if you're anything like this guy, please don't. The forecast looks like it's going to be a bit cloudy, at a nice 95 degrees. A light storm will roll in towards the afternoon, but still nice enough to keep it business as usual. And if anything changes, I'll be right here, keeping an eye to the sky.
Where can I?
Over there. Just be careful of the chains.
Right. That's the last one. Whew!
Where to?
Downtown, please. I'm glad that you were in the vicinity.
Be glad the sun is still up.
Ugh, I know. I would have been dead. Literally. I'm sorry about this. I didn't expect my engines to get eaten.
It's fine.
Or for you to carry that many crates.
It's fine, really.
And like I said, you'll get first pick when we arrive.
It's a trade. You don't need to be sorry for anything.
They were new engines, too. Where can I...
Right there. The couch behind me.
So, how long have you been a courier?
A long time.
Do you like it?
Sure.
So, do you take a lot of passengers?
I'm not a taxi.
So, no?
No, not normally.
Oh. So you're just a general courier, then? No people?
Yep.
Does it get lonely? No co-workers or anything? I have a co-worker. Andreas. Well, not really co-workers anymore. I mean, we work together, but we also, you know. Do you... You know. You know?
What am I supposed to know?
Okay, fair. Have you ever worked with someone who is creepy? My nose! Knife! It wasn't me! It wasn't me! I didn't do it! Not me! Not me! I didn't mean... I'm not creepy. I promise. I was talking about Andreas. Andreas. I promise.
This Andreas better be real, or you'll find out how real this knife is. Sit.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you for not stabbing me.
I'm setting the knife down... But don't do anything weird.
Right? No. I won't. But, as I was saying, I'll take that as a no. You haven't worked with anyone creepy. But I mean, this guy... Sorry, but, pointy objects?
Putting it away. One move, though.
I know. Swear, I'm telling the truth.
So tell.
We were just co-workers, so I tried to maintain a professional relationship. I really did. But oh man, does Andreas really freak me out. He's just really obsessed with meat. It's just creepy.
Didn't I just help you load 10 crates of meat?
Yeah, but that's different. And we work in the butcher stall, so it's not that weird for him to talk about meat.
So you admit you're just judgmental?
No, I'm not. I promise. I'm telling you, it's the way he does it. He would talk about how he loved the sensation of his knife sliding through a fresh kill, or how he loved the way the meat gave way under his fingertips if he applied the right amount of pressure. Also, yeah, he said it like that, with those words. It was strangely obsessive, and it would borderline sexual. Except the fact that I'd never hear him talk about being in a relationship or even a one-night stand.
Again, you said you're both butchers. So what if he likes meat? So far, I'm on his side.
There's no sides! Okay, at first, I brushed it off because he's already an awkward guy and frankly, very good looking. I thought he was into me because I was the only one who would talk to him, but actually, it was more like he would talk to me and I would just nod or give short answers.
Sounds familiar.
I wasn't really complaining since he was soft-spoken and seemed nice. Weird, but nice. And no one else bothered to talk to him, so maybe I just felt bad for him. But he'd say things like, "Your skin is shiny like a freshly peeled, dry-aged sausage."
He really said that?
Yeah, he said those exact words. Weird, right? Who flirts like that? Do I look like a peeled sausage to you?
Yes.
I do?
Yes. Why are you so sure he was flirting with you?
Okay, well, I just am, okay? But what really threw me was what happened this one morning. We hadn't opened yet, and it was just the two of us. We were laying out the meats and watching the line in front of us get longer. And Andreas just said the most out-of-pocket thing I've ever heard him say.
Oh, more than calling you a peeled sausage.
Yep. He told me to look at them. He said we were like fishermen who cast their bait into a net. And all of our customers were like fish coming to die. He told me to imagine them all lined up on the ice, filleted open and waiting for someone to devour them. The way he said it, it sent shivers down my spine, and not in a good way.
Oh, there's a good way?
And he was serious when he said it, like it was the best part about his whole morning.
Okay, so maybe that's a little unhinged. Why didn't you just quit?
Well, I liked it there. But after that, I tried my best to avoid him, and I'm pretty sure he noticed because he stopped talking to me. Part of me felt bad because I was probably his only friend, if that's what he wanted to call it. Even though I tried to avoid him, I couldn't get out of my head the image of his eyes. The way they were so lit up and glossed over with desire or something else. There was no doubt in my mind that he believed all of that.
And that worked out for you?
I guess. I was able to avoid him for a couple of weeks before we were forced to work the same shift.
Forced, really? We're not the ancients.
I mean, no, but I would have tried to trade shifts, but our other two co-workers got caught in high tide and were swept away.
Did they die?
Yeah. So, when I say forced, it was because we were the only two left to run the stall.
Ah, and you felt bad, so you didn't want to make him work alone?
Yeah, that's what happened. We were already late in opening that day, and we were low on stock because our usual supplier hadn't come by when she was supposed to, so all in all, not a great day. Not bad, but not the best.
When did things go differently?
Towards the end of the day. We had just run out of trade when a woman came up to us. She had a baby strapped to her back, and they looked like they hadn't eaten in days. She begged for anything we had. It was so sad to watch her, but we didn't have anything. Even our scraps already got traded away for fuel.
I feel like I know the answer, but you didn't turn her away, did you?
No, I'm not a monster. I told her that if she came back tomorrow, I'd make sure to set something aside for her. No trade necessary. Except, Andreas had a different idea. He told her to wait because he had something for her, then he disappeared behind the curtain. I had no idea what he was searching for because I know we didn't have anything else left, but he reappeared holding a nicely wrapped package. Whatever it was small, but would make one decent meal.
So he had a stash?
That's what he told her. He said she didn't need to trade for it neither. All he wanted was for her to come back and tell him what she made with it. I don't like when people cry, but seeing her tears made me smile.
So he's a little weird. That's not unusual. Most people are a little weird. Seems like you're still the judgmental a-hole.
I know! I thought so too!
Oh, you do agree.
I saw him in a new light. He seemed genuinely pleased to have helped her. It made me feel bad for judging him before. I finally apologized and Andreas just smiled at me and said it was in the past. So, our relationship improved after that and I started initiating more conversations with him. He still made the weird meat comments, but now I understood it as a real passion for the job.
That wasn't much of a story.
I'm not done, though.
Oh, okay.
He liked making people smile and a lot of times would give away things without trade. That was a huge benefit because sometimes they'd come back and trade us things that were worth far more than what we could provide. And they were always happy to do so.
Did you just want to talk about your boyfriend?
Boyfriend?
So you're not together? Sounds like you really like him.
I mean, I do, but okay, it's more complicated than that.
Doesn't sound like it.
It is, just listen.
All right, I'm listening.
Things changed one day. One morning, our supplier came in with fresh meats. She asked if we could trade for any scraps that hadn't been brought over to the fuelers. I said we might have some in the back and I'd have to check. I knew Andreas was supposed to handle it since I let him be in charge of breaking down the meat. Plus, I knew he liked it, so I let him. But when I pushed the curtain aside, I expected him to be in the middle of portioning out the food, but he wasn't there.
Was he on a smoke break? Was he on a meat break? Sorry, that's too good.
Ha ha. Laugh now. I promise you won't be in a minute.
I'm just not buying that he's creepy. Go on.
Well, his work was done and everything was neatly packaged, so it wasn't a work issue. At first, I thought he took the initiative and delivered the remnants to the fuelers, so I ran to the radio to see if I could catch him before he made the full trade, but when I reached for the radio, that's when I spotted him. He was shirtless, sitting behind the little wall where we'd sit for a smoke break, and that's not normal, except for the smell.
The smell?
I didn't smell tobacco. I smelled blood. Fresh blood. Butcher shops and blood, that's normal. I mean, so is the normal air, but like, fresh blood? I went to look and my heart stopped because he was leaning against the wall with a knife.
Did he kill someone?
No, nothing like that. It was himself. He'd sliced open his right side just under his ribcage. It didn't even look like it bothered him. Blood was just dripping, getting all over his pants, his shoes, his hands, the ground. I didn't know how to react. I just stood there. I was far enough away that I shouldn't hear it, or maybe I imagined it when he dug his fingers into the wound and wiggled them around. I felt sick. It was the same sound I hear when we slice into our products. And when he wormed his fingers far under, I could see his skin moving along. He did it so easily, like he was just sliding his hand under a blanket. But what really disturbed me was what he did. What he was doing.
What was he doing?
He pinched off a chunk of his flesh and pulled it away the same way he did when he was gutting a fish and removing the innards. And he squished it like he was testing its springiness.
Don't tell me he...
He put it in his mouth.
Oh, I mean, being a cannibal nowadays isn't that uncommon, but... Oh.
Yeah, but this was different. It was like he was some kind of flesh connoisseur. The way he was just so slow and thoughtful about it. If I close my eyes, I could still see it. The way his blood dribbled down his chiseled jawline, his perfectly stubbly chin, and his smooth neck.
Sounds like you were disturbed in the other kind of way.
I literally gasped so loud I had to run away.
So definitely the other kind of way.
No, I mean, I saw something I wasn't supposed to. So when I got back to the front, I forgot what I was originally supposed to do. I bumbled through an apology to Hunter saying I couldn't find any scraps, but next time she came back, I'd have some.
Did he find out? Like, did he notice you?
I don't know. Maybe. If he did, he didn't say anything. Abyss, I wasn't going to either.
Why not?
Of course not. Not right away. How do you even bring up... Never mind. Anyway... Andreas showed up and said there was no need because he just had them on hand, and he handed her the package and they left together.
So what did you do?
I had to see for myself. I needed to make sure I wasn't crazy, so I rushed to the back and I expected to see pools of blood and a knife. But there was nothing. Only the overturned bucket and leftover cigarette butts and ashes. Freshly smoked.
Maybe you were seeing things.
No, I swore he was there, and there was no way he would have had time to clean up and take the time to smoke. And that got me thinking. Remember that incident I was telling you about? The starving woman and her baby? How he gave her meat from his personal stash, and the only thing he wanted in return was to know how it tasted? I mean, 2 plus 2, right? He must have given her his own flesh.
I don't think that's a logical jump.
It literally made me sick. I almost vomited. If he was a cannibal, I needed to know.
Why? What were you hoping would happen?
I don't know. I just needed to know. I confronted him about it.
Oh, you actually did?
I waited until we were closed before I said something. I asked him what that was, and he acted like he had no idea what I was talking about. I told him that I saw everything he was doing, the cutting and the eating. Now, I hated the way he looked at me like I was the crazy one. I snapped. I told him to take off his shirt and show me, because no matter how fast he was able to clean up, there was no way he could hide a wound like that. So what if he was fast enough to change his clothes and smoke, but you can't hide something like that?
And? Did he actually do it? Or did he call you crazy?
He did. He took off his shirt and I had a hard time not, you know, looking at his chest, but I looked at his side. It was perfectly chiseled and smooth. but there was nothing. No scar, no blood, no nothing. I stood there feeling so stupid, but I know what I saw. I smelled the blood. I saw him cut and eat his own flesh.
Maybe.
I had to make sure, so I reached out to grab his side, inspecting his skin. There had to be evidence. Anything. I couldn't have just imagined it.
Oh, boy.
But you know when you kind of come back to reality and it's like, oh, damn. This is what I'm doing now.
You had that?
Yeah. I was crouched over and groping the stomach of my very attractive coworker. And his face was all cute and red, and it seemed like what I was doing was making him, you know.
No.
Well, one thing led to another, and we found ourselves lacking clothes and disgracing the workbench with our own.
Do not elaborate on that.
But it's kind of relevant.
I don't want to know.
I won't give all the dirty details.
Fine.
We were getting hot and heavy on the prep table.
Unsanitary.
We cleaned it. I was on my back. He had his hands all over me doing stuff. Until I felt his fingers massaging a little too hard. I laughed at him and told him that he was being too rough. But he didn't stop. Then I felt his fingers dig into my chest and I felt the air leave my lungs. I'm not exaggerating. It wasn't a... he stole my breath kind of way. It was... his hands were in my lungs.
Oh, what do you mean, in your lungs?
My chest burned. Blood sprayed out across my face and some of it got in my mouth. I could taste the iron dribbling down the back of my throat. I could barely breathe and I didn't want to keep looking at him, but I couldn't stop. I could see my reflection in his eyes. My mouth was gaping open and closed like a dying fish. I was just a slab of meat being portioned out for distribution. I was paralyzed with the pain and the absolute terror that I was going to die during sex. But? It's so weird because all I could think about was how warm he was. His body up against mine. I'd never been touched like that before. It was... I wanted to sputter out a plea for my life, but I didn't. Because what a way to go.
You didn't even try? You just accepted that you die.
I know. But when he leaned forward and placed a bloody finger to my lips, I really didn't care. I wanted him to do everything to me. He leaned back and expertly began to crack my ribs on my left side. One by one, he broke them, stopping to tilt his head and sigh at each crack, like my body was an instrument. I felt them all. Each snap felt like an electric shock that widened out my vision. The only sensation I felt was his warmth and my pain. I've never felt anything like it. And the only sound I could make was just air pushing through the blood in my mouth. Each breath sprayed little bubbles of blood across my face and his.
How long were you both doing this?
I don't know. I just remember how it felt. What he did to me and how...
How
Andreas leaned over me like we were in some kind of lover's embrace.
Technically you were.
He told me to listen.
To your bones?
No. Better.
Better?
At first I didn't know what he was talking about, but... then I heard it. My heart. Boom, 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 boom. It was beating so fast. He said my sound was the most beautiful music he'd ever heard. I mean, how could I stop him? Beautiful. Me. I was beautiful to him. Then he wrapped his hands around my heart, You know when you hear someone say their life was in someone's hands?
Literally for you.
Yes. What I was going through, so much worse, but it was so good. We locked eyes and in the silence we listened together. It was so intimate to know there was someone who was literally holding my heart. And it was someone who called me beautiful.
That is not healthy.
Then he pulled. That time, I screamed as he painstakingly removed my heart from my chest. I could see his muscles tense when he pulled, and I should have felt scared, but I didn't. I felt safe.
You felt safe?
It hurt, and I was scared, but I wasn't scared of dying. I was scared that his hand would slip and he would let go of me. For some reason, I trusted that he wasn't going to kill me. And when he was done, Andreas lifted it for me to see. My heart was still beating with all the veins and arteries attached. I've never felt that type of euphoria before. I was soaring. I knew we were connected when Andreas raised my heart to his lips and drank from an artery like a straw. I don't know what happened after that because I passed out. I woke up at home, fully intact. I mean, that post-sex clarity, whew. I needed to find out if it was real or not. There was no scarring or blood or anything, but...
Hey, put the shirt back on.
No, wait, it's... Just look. Look.
Oh, what is wrong with you?
There's nothing. Touch it.
No!
It's just empty. Feel it. No ribs, no heart, but I'm still here. I'm still alive.
But damn it, I'm doing... Oh, whoa.
See?
Nothing.
I know.
Weird.
Oh, what am I gonna do? I should leave him, huh? Ugh, but we work together and... Oh, and finding another place to work that has a good trade hub. It's a real dilemma.
He stole your heart.
I know.
No, not I know. He ate you. Literally.
I know. I mean, aside from that, he's a nice guy.
He ate you.
But we work together and it just seems awkward. Or maybe I'm just making it awkward.
He ate you. He drank your blood.
I know. Just... I guess I'll just see where it goes.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, that's... Hey, Andreas! Thanks for the ride. Andreas and I can unload the crates so you don't have to. Once they're unloaded, I'll come back with some meats for you.
No, thanks. No, thanks. I'll stick to the fish.
Oh, yeah. Sure, right. Fish only.
Wild. Ooh. Well, I mean, I guess they're happy.
Be back in a few.
Yep, sure. Well. Ooh, I can do tinola. Nice. Oh, he's back. That was fast.
Here. I made sure that they're still whole.
Thanks. Sorry, you've just got a little, something on your mouth, like, right there?
Oh!
Other corner.
Oh! Just... Have you ever... kissed someone with blood?
Oliver, please stop.
Right. Sorry. hey. Thanks for listening, by the way. I know you really didn't want to.
It's fine. You've got a lot to deal with.
If we've got more deliveries, can I radio for you?
If I'm free, sure.
Thanks. See ya!
Finally.
And what a sight it was to see, listeners. I didn't think you could taste the color purple, but apparently you can. So if you're ever around Tolleson, be sure to drop by the Smith stall for a real treat. We have a rare update from Quartzsite today, listeners. A passerby reports seeing a 5-story obelisk rising from the waters. It was citrine in color and let out a low-pitched sound somewhere in the G-flat range. The passerby says there was a corresponding rumble under the water and about a few dozen fish floated to the surface. Their bodies then began to swarm around the obelisk before all of them descended back into the water. Oy, oy, oy. Qué raro. In other news, I have a rare job listing that comes from the Flagstaff Lighthouse. If anyone is looking to fill the position, please send me your qualifications in the mail. Training will be provided. Well, that's it from me tonight. The sun is setting, so you all know what that means. Stay inside, stay asleep, and stay safe. Estoy cansado. You'll hear me again bright and early tomorrow morning. Our last song for the night is... Why is everything round? By the Paw Prints.
Episode 5 featured Stephen Haynes Jr. as Oliver, Kennedy Rianne as Anuk, and Manu A. as El Saguaro. This episode was written and produced by Kennedy Rianne. All licensing information can be found on the website at leftoversattheendoftheworld.com. Thanks for listening. Marami pong salamat sa inyong pagtangkilik.